Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
One of the most common tactics of the devil is to make us feel cut off from the love and the forgiveness of God. This occurs most often after some failure on our part. Condemnation is designed to drive us away from God. That's exactly what Satan is wanting to do.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, in a message titled, Satan's War on the Mind. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so we're continuing our spiritual warfare series, and we come this morning to a message that I've entitled Satan's War on the Mind. And we're going to realize this as we go through, if we haven't realized it already, that our minds are really one of the primary targets of the enemy. And here in the passage that we read together, there's the reference to the wiles or the schemes of the devil and the fiery darts of the wicked or the flaming arrows of the wicked. And although those things cover a broad range of activity, they are no doubt inclusive of Satan's attack upon our mind and emotions. Now, just how it is that Satan has the ability to interfere with our thinking process, I don't know how that is the case. I can't explain it in the sense that, you know, we could really comprehend like how he's able to do that, but we know that he does. I know that he does. We know it from the scriptures, and we know it also from personal experience. And we're going to see, as we look at this here, we're going to see that a lot of things that we might not have been aware of that were satanically inspired, if you will, or originated with the devil, a lot of those things are things that we're experiencing on a somewhat of a regular basis. But let me give you, first of all, some biblical examples of Satan's ability to influence people's thinking, just so you know for sure that this isn't just my opinion. This is what the Bible actually teaches. We go back to David, and we read in 1 Chronicles 21, we read an interesting thing there. It says, and Satan rose up against Israel, and he moved David to number the children of Israel. Now, numbering the children of Israel was something that the kings were forbidden to do by God. But David suddenly had this thought in his mind that he should do that. He did do it, and it brought about God's displeasure. But we're told specifically that Satan was the one who moved him to do that. Fast forward to the Apostle Peter. We have a similar kind of a situation where Peter, on the one hand, he's had a revelation from God. There with Jesus at Caesarea Philippi, maybe you remember in Matthew 16, Jesus says to his disciples, he's there with them, he says, who do men say that I am? And they give him a variety of answers. You're Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets of old. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And remember, Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus then says to Peter, he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father revealed that to you. So Peter has a divine revelation. God speaks to him. A few minutes later, Jesus is going on to explain to them that the messianic program is going to be different than they thought. And he starts telling them that he's going to be rejected. He's going to suffer. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. And Peter, who just moments earlier had a revelation from God, Peter speaks up and he says, not so, Lord. No, that's never going to happen to you. And Jesus said these words. He said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not thinking about the things of God, but you're thinking the way men think." And so Peter was under the influence of Satan at that point. Satan had put that suggestion into Peter's mind. So we see with David and Peter, two men of God, godly men, that their thinking process was influenced by the devil. Now, there's other examples. Judas, we read that it was Satan who put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. So the thought to betray Jesus came to Judas from Satan. In the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, we read about a couple there named Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira, they concocted a story. They lied. They were judged as a result of it by God because they lied not to men, but to God. But Peter asked them at a certain point, he says, "How is it that Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And so again, Satan was the one who influenced them to come up with this scheme, to come up with this idea. And then one more, kind of a broader, more general passage. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Corinthians, the second epistle, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So in all of these, we see examples of Satan's ability to influence people's thinking process. Now, these satanic attacks upon the mind result in a variety of different experiences. They result in experiences like condemnation, doubt, evil thoughts, destructive thoughts, fear, depression, discouragement, and despair. And what I want to do is today I want to look at just a few, three of the things on the list there. So this is going to be part one of a two-part study. But today we're going to look at condemnation, doubt, and evil thoughts. And we're going to see that these are some of the things that fall into this category of the fiery darts or the flaming arrows of the wicked one. They fall into the category of the schemes or the wiles of the devil. So condemnation is where we begin. One of the most common tactics of the devil is to make us feel cut off from the love and the forgiveness of God. He wants to try to get people to think that they have been cut off from the love and the forgiveness of God. This occurs most often after some failure on our part. Condemnation is designed to drive us away from God. That's exactly what Satan is wanting to do. He's wanting to drive us away from God. Whenever you are feeling you can't come to God because of something you've done, some past sin you've committed, or perhaps you're feeling God is never going to use you again because of some failure on your part, anything like that, if that's happening to you, if that has happened to you, know that you are being condemned by the devil. And he will try to come in, like I said, on the heels of some failure, and he will suggest to us that that's it. We've gone too far. There's no more grace. There's no more mercy. We've exhausted God's resources in that area. It's too late. It's all over. Forget it. And sometimes it can be as severe as he's suggesting those things regarding our salvation. Sometimes maybe it's in the area of some kind of ministry or service to God. No, God's never going to use you again because after all, look what you did, look what you thought, look what you said. And this is just the way he operates. This is one of Satan's most common tactics. And it's one of his most common tactics because it's one of his most effective tactics. It works. People believe it. They buy into it. And they live in this condemnation. Now listen, there's another thing that we need to talk about for just a second, and that's conviction. There's conviction from the Holy Spirit. There's condemnation from the devil. How do you know the difference between one or the other? Well, listen, this is how you know. Conviction shows us our sin but always points to the remedy of the blood of Christ. So conviction, although it shows us our sin, it pushes us toward God to receive his forgiveness. Condemnation, on the other hand, does just the opposite. Condemnation points to our sin and then suggests to us there is no remedy. There is no mercy. There is no forgiveness. So if you've had those kinds of thoughts or those kinds of feelings, and sometimes they can come as a plague upon people's minds, again, know this, that comes straight from the devil. That's the devil's work. Now, what do we do if we're experiencing this type of a thing? Well, it's here that we can't really depend on our feelings, because this is part of the problem. We feel condemned. Even in our own thinking, we could easily understand why we might be condemned. So this is where it's so vitally important that we stand upon God's word. This is where faith comes in. Forget how you feel. You've got to, by faith, stand upon what God has declared in his word. And in Romans 8:1, he said this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ." There's no condemnation. That's what we have to stand on. And those feelings of condemnation, no matter how powerful they might be, know this, they're not from God, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Paul, in that same chapter, he later goes on and he asks a series of questions. But at one point he says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" That's exactly what this condemnation thing is. It's an accusation by the devil. It's a charge. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" He said, "It is God who justifies." So the answer is nobody can bring a charge against us. God's the one who's justified us. But then he goes on and he asks this question. He says, "Who is he who condemns?" And then he says this, "It is Christ who died for you, who is risen, and who is at the right hand of God making intercession for you." So his point is obvious. Christ isn't the one condemning you. No, Christ is the one who died for you. Christ is the one who rose from the dead. Christ is the one who's, he's not condemning you. He's at God's right hand praying for you. He's interceding for you. So who is it that condemns? Well, Satan can come with these accusations. He can come with these attempts to condemn us, but he can't condemn us. All he can do is fool us into thinking that we are condemned. And that's where we have to resist that. And then we're told that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And you see, this is, we have to stand on these promises. And since you confessed, you can know, even though you might not feel it, you can know for certain that God has forgiven you. So this thought process that might come our way, this, and sometimes it's like a nagging voice in our heads. And you see, what the devil is wanting to do, he's wanting you to think that it's God who's speaking this to you. He's wanting you to think that God's the one who's saying that you're lost now, that you're cut off, that there's no hope. He wants you to think that God's saying that. But that's not the voice of your Father. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So that's number one. Secondly, another of the devil's darts is to try and put doubt into our mind. Try to put doubt into our mind. Satan will try to get you to doubt everything from God's existence to your own salvation to your call to serve him. And he is especially concerned with casting doubt upon the word of God. Now, an important thing to remember, though, is that there is a difference between the temptation to doubt and the sin of unbelief. You see, just because there's a doubtful thought in your head doesn't mean necessarily that you've committed a sin. You know, we can't stop certain things from happening. We're talking about spiritual warfare, right? We're in a war. What happens in a war? The enemy is going to attack you. The enemy is going to shoot at you. You can't stop them from doing that. And sometimes you can't, there's nothing you can do to stop that onslaught from the devil that's coming and bombarding us with a temptation to doubt. We can't stop that from happening, but we have to recognize that that's not necessarily sin. Satan is always trying to undermine the word of God. You know, here's the thing about the devil. He really hasn't changed his strategy much throughout history because it works. And he will do so by, at times, assailing us with a temptation to doubt. What do we do when this happens? Well, we can pray. We should pray. We can cry out, Lord, increase my faith. If we're feeling like we're coming to that place of just giving in to that pressure, we can cry to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. But not only do we pray, but we need to give ear to God's word, because we're told that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see, your faith is bolstered. It's built up. It's made stronger through the word of God. And so we need to be in the word of God. This is, as we're going to see as we go further into this series, this is our primary means of victory over the devil, is God's word. And then thirdly, we stand. Above all, we are to take the shield of faith with which we will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. So there's that place we pray, we take heed to God's word, but there's that place too where we just stand our ground. We just stand on what we know, what we've experienced. You know, Pastor Chuck used to say, never give up what you know for what you don't know. And what do you know? Well, you know, I know God saved me. I know I'm not the person I used to be. I know that God's word is true. But even in those times when we're being assailed, we just have to stand firm on that. And so moving on to our third and our final point for the day, evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Another manifestation of Satan's war on our minds is evil thoughts. Now, it's certainly possible, and often the case, that evil thoughts arise from our own sinful hearts. So we have to be clear about this. We don't want to think that, or I'm not suggesting that every evil thought we have is from the devil. Many aren't. Many just originate from within our own hearts because they're evil. The Bible's clear about that. But there are times when that is not the case, and we need to be able to distinguish between the two. So how do I know when a thought originates in my own sinful heart or is coming at me from another source? How do I know the difference? Well, one of the ways is, do you take pleasure in the thought? Do you delight in the thought? And if you can say, no, I hate this thought, I detest these thoughts, then you could be pretty confident that this thought isn't yours. This thought is the enemy's. He's interjected it. And so we have to recognize, we have to realize that there are indeed times when these experiences that we are having are rooted in the devil's activity. They're rooted in his attack against us. How do we overcome this kind of attack? Well, three things. Number one, refuse to own the thought. Just refuse to own it. It's not my thought. No, I'm sorry. I know I'm depraved, I know I'm perverted, but I'm not that depraved or perverted. The devil is more depraved and he's more perverted. You know, some of the things that have come into our minds at times, you just say, no, I don't own that. And then certainly we would never act on them. We refuse to act on those thoughts. And then thirdly, turn them into occasions to praise and to pray. Now, I don't know that we can, again, necessarily stop these things from happening. As someone once said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on your head. You know, there are times when we can't stop it, but what we can do is we can turn it around. So if my mind is assailed with blasphemy, I can take that and say, you know what? I'm going to praise God even more. I'm going to praise him even louder. I'm going to praise him even harder. If our minds are filled with perversion or hatred or whatever toward another person, we can say, Lord, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to pray for that person, to pray blessing, to pray salvation, to pray whatever the case might be. And you see, as we do that, in a sense, we're turning the enemy's weapons back upon himself. And there is a point, I think, where if he knows every time he assails you with this type of a thing, it's going to lead to you praising God more and praying more, there's a point where he's probably going to move on and go hassle somebody else. So we can turn the enemy's weapon back on him. So these are some of the things that Satan employs in his assault upon our minds. But as I mentioned at the beginning, there are more, and we've just touched on part of them here. And there are other kinds of thought patterns as well that are destructive, in that people hear these things in their mind and then they start buying them, they start believing them, they start acting upon them, and then these things end up destroying their lives. We want to expose those as being the work of the devil. And then there's fear. We call sometimes today these kinds of fears phobias, and these exaggerated kinds of fears, and depression, discouragement, despair. So we'll come back next time and we'll finish up and look at those other things and see how each of them, as well as we've been talking today, each of them are connected back to Satan's war upon our minds. But let me remind you of just two things here. The Bible tells us, it gives us two different pictures of Satan. There's one picture Peter gives to us: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's one picture. But the other picture is that he's subtle. Paul is concerned and he writes to the Corinthians, he says, I'm concerned that just as the devil, by his subtlety, deceived Eve, that you would also be deceived. And so we have to understand that he comes in both ways. He comes sometimes subtly, stealthily. He's hiding behind, sometimes, like we're saying, he's hiding behind these thoughts. He's wanting you to think these are your thoughts, or he's wanting you to think these are God's thoughts. That's the subtlety. He's not coming out saying, hey, I'm the devil, I'm trying to get you in a trap so I can destroy you. But there are other times when he's going about, as Peter said, and he's manifesting himself more as a roaring lion. And so Peter tells us, and this is, the application is true in either case, he says, be sober and be vigilant. Be sober means to be clear-minded, and to be vigilant means to be watchful. And so that's how we need to approach this whole issue. We've got to be thinking clearly about it, and we have got to be watching for these kinds of things. And as we identify, as we see them, then we identify them for what they are, and then we take the biblical instruction, like we've looked at today, standing in faith, standing on the word of God, believing the promises of God, calling upon God in prayer, and that's how we gain the victory.
For the month of July, Back to Basics Radio is extending our offer for the DVD titled The Neighborhood. Have you had alcoholism in your family, drug abuse, physical abuse, or any other dysfunction in your family? Well, The Neighborhood features the stories of four former gangsters who lived through abuse, gang life, prison, and whom ultimately found their hope in Christ. If you want to hear firsthand testimonies of how the grace of God brings freedom, restoration, and forgiveness to the lives ensnared and destroyed by sin, then we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365. or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk to order The Neighborhood. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this DVD as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.